Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I am your fill-in host, Taryn Armstrong, filling in here for Rob Sesternino. He's still in New York visiting the family. He just didn't want to leave after coming to New York and doing that wonderful live show where I did, in fact, donate $5 to Adam Pock's charity. We are here live on Sunday night, August 6th, to recap the nomination episode of Big Brother 19. And today, I have brought you Brent Wolgamott. How you doing, Brent?
Hey, Taryn, nice to be here on a Sunday night. I know that you were looking for a third person to do this podcast, and there are a couple possibilities on the table, Liana and John, but I really don't think we should go with John anymore because he's a little long-winded.
John is right there.
Oh, shoot.
This is snap. What's up, John? How you doing?
Hey, so why don't you think you should go with me?
You're long-winded and you had that beard thing for a while. It was really freaky. And
yes. Also with us tonight is John Krafts.
The Prince of Pepperoni Palace is what I'd like to be called from now on, please.
Okay, I can go with that.
You're not the Lord of Meatball Manor?
No, it's a slightly different house. We have different house
it
lords.
Does have one extra alliteration there, so props. Yeah. We have the chat room open on rabbitsofwebsite.com, and Alex will be pulling your questions on Twitter with the hashtag RHAP tonight, so yes. Send in those questions all night long. Let's get into this episode. I think top story of the night is that people seem to finally be on to Paul being in control of everything, and by people, I mean Christmas, Brent.
I guess, sort of, maybe. You don't really know what's real and what's not. I mean, I think that there are rumblings. Just like I was listening to Paul previous this week, and this is not a spoiler, but him talking about people's true colors coming out. I think people are also starting to see Paul's true colors a little bit. And I know on this particular night that you're talking about where Christmas was saying, you know, hey, don't do everything Paul says. Make sure you talk to me first. She did let Josh know that, you know, she, from her perspective, she was seeing that maybe there are already two HOHs. And then there was that thing about, you know, Paul already thinks that's his room. And that night, I think Paul said that, oh, there are no beds, I guess, so I'm going to have to sleep up in the HOH room with Josh, a.k.a. my monkey boy, a.k.a. my puppet, okay? And so it's very clear to at least some people what's going on. The thing is, are they happy with the status quo, Taryn? That's the question. They may recognize that Paul is controlling everything, but I think most people in the house, if you like gave them truth serum and said, you know, who's controlling the game right now, they would say Paul, but everyone's happy to let him control everything because that means they're not taking the bullets out in front if like something freaky happens and Cody wins HOH. So I feel like that, yes, I agree with what you're saying, that Christmas is at least a bit woke, but I don't know that she's necessarily willing to do anything about it at this point.
Well, John, we saw her talk in the diary room saying that she wants to enact this plan. And she also was talking to Josh saying, you know, don't always listen to Paul. I feel like we should have our own agenda. Josh, you should do what you want to do on your HOH. Is this the sign of the start of a rebellion?
I really, really love this. This is like my favorite part of the whole episode strategy wise, because it's the kind of thing that plays right into all of Josh's sort of insecurities, right? Like he's got this whole thing about masculinity and he wants to be a man and he wants to be a big adult and he wants to be this and that and the other thing. And like now he has his own room. And so I mean, like, oh, it's kind of like Paul wants to share the HOH room with you. Like that's the exact sort of thing that's going to set Josh off. And so, yeah, I think this is sort of the start, the rumbling of things. And I mean, totally, Brent is totally right. But you got to start talking about these things, even if everyone's okay with the status quo. People start talking about things and maybe people are afraid to bring something up. But then if someone else mentions it, then maybe it's a little, now it becomes okay to talk about. And now we're getting the fomentation of what might ultimately at some point be a rebellion.
Yeah, you know, Josh is very particular about who he invites to Meatball Manor. You know, you have to bring some spaghetti with you, some sauce, maybe some Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, why is it always a meat thing? Like, it was freaking Adam Pock and bacon, and they said bacon, and he was off to the races with freaking bacon. Now, Julie says meatball one time on a live show, and you know he's never going to let that go. For the rest of the season, that's all it's going to be is meatballs and meatballs and more meatballs.
Well, he did say that Elena threw their best friend, Paul, under the rug. I feel like he's particularly averse to being thrown under the rug because meatballs that go under the rug are just really bad at that point.
You can't eat a meatball once it's gone under the rug. It's going to have lots of like fuzzy hairs on it. It's just going to be really disgusting.
Isn't that a song?
Is it?
I want to, like... My meatball that went under the...
It's like the on top of spaghetti, yes. All covered with cheese.
Yeah.
Something about a meatball and someone sneezed. Yeah.
Does it go under a rug, though?
I think it does. I gotta look it up.
The much less popular second verse talks about the meatball rug, for sure.
Well, if we're in luck, then it's not copyright, and Josh will be singing it on the live feeds. Josh ends up... setting his sights on Elena here. This seems very strange, especially because we know that Josh has had a crush on Elena for a little while now, although perhaps that is part of the reason. John, do you have any idea, really? I mean, we saw Josh explain his reasoning, but most of it just seemed like, you know what? Here's my reason we're targeting Elena. She's shady. She's manipulative. She's untrustworthy. That's why. And it's just like, okay, but why are you saying those things? John, do you have any idea why he's going after Elena here?
Yeah, and obviously this is just sort of my read on it, but I think it's a couple of different things. I think number one, it is definitely somewhere subconsciously the fact that he kind of feels slighted. Like, he definitely has a thing for Elena, and Elena hasn't really paid him back the way that he would like. He's, you know, she still kind of has this thing with Mark, even though they've kind of split. They kind of haven't. So I think that's definitely part of it. I do think that he feels very sore that they voted for him, even though Elena and Mark, and even I think Paul, have talked about how, like, Elena, you know, she didn't know. The reason that she voted for Josh was that Paul kept her in the dark last week. But it didn't sit. I just don't think that Josh likes that he received votes. So that's a big part of it. And I think another big part of it is this whole, you know, this is his HOH. He wants to do his thing. Josh is the kind of guy who wants to be the star of the show. That's why he sings all of these uncopyrighted songs. And he has the whole meatball thing. And now it's his HOH. He wants to do this whole, like, him nominating and targeting Elena is the HOH equivalent of banging pots and pans. It's just like, he wants to do something that's crazy and annoying that is going to start fireworks. So I think it's a little bit of all those things.
Yeah, I agree with the last point, especially. That's what I said on Twitter when people were like, you know, where is this coming from? And a lot of people were instantly going to the fact that, oh, well, you know, Elena is not looking at him like boyfriend material. Hi, Umberto, I see you. And, you know, like, is it some Delilah thing? And I'm like, please, it's really nothing more than the fact that Josh is a Big Brother fan. Remember, this guy knew who Aika Wong was. He worships at her temple, okay? And he wants to have fun. And it's got to be really disconcerting for him to finally get his dream. He's on Big Brother. He was, like, worried during week one. Now he's risen to power. He's HOH, and his move is already made for him. Like, I mean, everybody's already telling him, oh, we know what you're gonna do. You're gonna nominate Cody and Jessica. I mean, that's what you have to do, right? I mean, like, it's gotta be infuriating for him to, like, he wants to be a playa, not a player, a playa. He wants to be a playa in the game, and he wants to make his own moves, and it's gotta be a little irritating that he feels like his move is already made for him.
You know, it came up in the very first confessional of the evening, right? It was Josh, and he was like, from night one, I had a target on my back, and I had to crawl my way up this ladder, and I've had to fight every single day in this house, and now I'm HOH, and now I'm ready to do something with it. Like, he's narrativized it in his head to have it be this big story, and so, like, this is the climax that he's, like, pushing towards. Like,
and I will say really quickly that Elena did not play this very well. She could not have played this worse. I mean, like, he doesn't even have the key around his neck, it seems like, and she's already walking up to him with Cody and Jessica right there as the obvious targets and saying, you know, hey, I'm good this week, right? Like, really? I'm good? I mean, like, the live show hadn't even ended yet, it seems like, and she was already asking him that. It was such a bad look, and I know why. I feel like that's in part why Josh's antenna went off.
Christmas has always appeared to be the Josh whisperer from week one, really, when she was one of the few people that would talk to him when he was on the outs. She always knew how to speak to Josh, and Elena just doesn't know. Elena, she's way too aggressive. Elena tries to come at him with, like, facts, like, no, I didn't say those things. This is what I said. It doesn't matter if you actually said those things to Josh, because Josh only cares about what he believes.
Yeah.
And And Elena isn't understanding that. Brent, is there any chance that Elena can turn this around and get Josh back on her side?
No, I don't think so, because she doesn't have that empathy card. She's so cold when she's talking with Josh. She's totally emotionally closed off to him. She will not open up to him a little bit and just give him a little bit of tender, loving care. And it is a people game at the end of the day. You have to be able to get along with other people and get them to do what you want. You know what? I'm sorry that it may be a little chauvinistic, but she's got to be a little bit more submissive to him and give him a little bit of like, oh, Josh, I see what you're doing here. Like, I love you. You're in control of this game. I get it. But it feels like she's just like, well, I didn't say those things. I mean, you asked me specifically. She was almost like a politician where she was like, well, you know, I didn't say those things exactly. You did not ask me who were the suggestions. Like, I never said those exactly. I never said that. I mean, I was trying to say that they were the stronger competitors, but I mean, she was kind of trying to have it both ways. So again, she just sounds more and more shady the more she talks. She would be better off just being a little bit more honest.
Such a big part of this game is knowing sort of what makes other players tick and giving them exactly what they want. And this feels kind of gross to say, and I would never, ever suggest anything like this in real life. But it's so obvious that Josh has such a crush on Elena. And this is a time where, like, the flirtation game would totally work. Like, if she flirted with him a little bit, if she gave him a little bit of what he wants, if she kind of batted her eyes at him or, you know, gave him a peck on the cheek or something, he would completely melt and he would do anything she wanted. That is totally the right play.
I agree.
And she's not going to do it.
She ain't going to do it. And I think that ship has sailed, by the way. Even if she started doing that now, I don't think it would necessarily work. It might, but I don't think it would work.
Yeah,
he did say the other night, it might have been last night, or it might have even been earlier today, like, oh, I saw what she was doing. She came up here. She wasn't wearing a bra. She was in her panties. I knew exactly what she was up to. I hate saying that word, by the way. It's really gross.
What word?
You want to make me say it again?
I didn't hear the word.
Panties. I hate panties. Saying it. It feels weird.
Oh, sorry. I was like, panties are bad? I didn't know.
I'm in my panties now.
yeah. It feels weird to say. I never say it.
You're such a virgin. Oh, panties.
Anyway, we're also seeing Paul fail in his communication with Josh here. Usually when he goes and he talks to someone, he gets his way. And we even saw the edit sort of go in the way that it usually was. Again, I'm really liking what the editors are doing here in terms of like their segments and how they're set up, because Paul goes up there. It's just like we've seen a million times this season. He goes up, he says, this is what we got to do. He's like, all right, I got him on the right track. Everything's set. And then he leaves. And it's all of a sudden turned around. They're like, no, we're not going to do what Paul says. Why is Paul failing here, John?
I think the big difference is that now Josh is HOH. Josh is the kind of person he respects. Again, he's got very clear, concrete ideas of what masculinity are and what power are. And he has very clear ideas of hierarchy. He's always talking about family and la familia. And I think that when Paul is HOH, then it's like, yeah, we do what Paul wants because he's the leader right now. And I think that he was expecting all along that when he becomes the HOH, that Paul was going to sort of reciprocate. And we're not seeing that. Paul hasn't changed how he talks to Josh. There was a great thing, and it was cool that they showed it in the actual aired show, where he brought a drink to Paul in the HOH room and Paul was like, put it down right there on the table. Like, he was treating Josh like a servant. And I'm sure he's done that a million times and it's totally no big deal. And like, you know, if someone brings you a drink and you're just like, please put it there, that's no big deal. But to Josh right now, he's like, wait a minute, this is my HOH room and you're telling me what to do. And that doesn't sit well with him because he has such a concrete idea of whose hierarchy.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there have been a lot of comparisons between the game that Paul is playing and the game that Derek played during 16. And I feel like that the Derek from 16 would have played this so much better. And he would have known, like, I have to give this guy the respect that he wants and that he thinks he deserves. I mean, I may not necessarily respect him in the game right now. He's just a piece of the puzzle for me to use. But I'm going to make him think that he's king. He wants to be king. Let's make him king. And he would have done that. I don't think Paul is doing that as much. I feel like Paul wants to be co-king, not co-HOH, and that ain't working for Josh right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you kind of look at Josh as maybe the Caleb figure, we're seeing Christmas take the Derek approach, which is the much lighter hand that he used with Caleb that was very effective, and he got Caleb to do basically whatever he wanted, as opposed to Frankie, who also had a close relationship with Caleb, but often pushed too hard and ended up, failing to be the main influencer on Caleb. Obviously, I'm not saying that Christmas is doing this on purpose. purpose, like emulating Derek's strategy in any way, but she is emulating that more than Paul is in this moment, where Paul is doing the much more aggressive approach, and it's really not working with Josh. John, is could this be the end of Paul's reign of terror here? Are we seeing the beginning of the end here?
I'm going to say that I hope so. I'm not necessarily super anti-Paul or super pro whatever, but I just like when stuff shifts up, and it's just been such a slog the last few weeks. Like, no one went home last Thursday. I'm ready for a shift in the power, and I'm ready for some change. And so I'm hoping that these are the seeds of doubt. I hope that we start to see some change here, because I'm ready for a big change.
Yeah, I feel like we could even see it as early as this week, depending on how things go. I think, Taryn, you on a previous morning update show said that if Josh goes through with this plan of really wanting, like, let's assume for the sake of argument that Elena and Jessica are still there on eviction night. If Josh, behind Paul's back a lot, he tries to get Elena out of the house and doesn't really have Paul's support, but that's effectively declaring war on Paul. And if he does that and he's not successful, he could quickly find himself on the short end of the stick.
Plus, yeah, if that vote goes that way, theoretically it goes towards sending Elena home, that'll completely shatter the alliance. Like, right, like we see Paul for the last few weeks, like he wants to get out Cody and Jessica, but he's already laying the seeds to push out Mark and Elena, and he might even be laying the seeds that, like, he wants to sort of slowly push people out of his alliance while keeping this core. But if they were to go forward and have this sort of thing happen, it would completely shatter the alliance in half. It would completely be obliterated. And that would be a big change.
If Paul and Josh, if neither of them back down, and we ultimately do see both of these nominees remain on the block, I think we will see some sort of civil war and some sort of big shakeup here. But let's talk about this this Strangest Things temptation competition. We saw this in Big Brother OTT, and I actually really enjoyed it. It was one of my favorite competitions in OTT. I gotta say, I preferred watching it live. I felt like that was a lot more fun than watching the sort of edited version. I felt like the scares weren't as funny to me. What did you think, John?
I mean, we basically saw it live, right? Didn't they show all 12 people going through the whole thing? It was a good chunk of the episode, but I did like it. I for all of its faults, OTT was a really great proving ground for some new kinds of competitions. I like that they're turning the inside of the house into sort of a game room. And I do like the whole scares thing. I did think it went on a little over long. I do think that they definitely play up some of the scares a little bit. Maybe not Mark. Like, Mark and Elena both looked pretty legit scared. But overall, I like it a lot. The last thing I'll say on this is, what the heck is up with that cornhead thing? Like, that was the weirdest thing. Like, I get it, like, people with messed up faces and, like, weird babies and, like, tongues out. Those are all scary. But what is it? Like, what is that cornhead thing? Like, that was just bizarre.
I was fond of the upside down faces. I thought those were pretty cool.
I liked those a lot.
Yeah. Something else. Jason is 6'5". I wasn't aware of this. He is apparently quite tall.
Yeah, and by the way, can we at least acknowledge the fact that Kevin wasn't he second during that competition?
Third.
I mean, that was great. I mean, like, the fact, and Kevin didn't necessarily move that fast, as far as I could tell.
He was hobbling around with his, like, cardigan on.
I think Alex could have beat Cody if she hadn't had her fingers in her ears the entire time while she was walking around the house.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. Why are you putting your fingers in your ears? Like, doesn't that make it more scary if you can't hear anything? Like, I always get terrified if I have these noise-canceling headphones in and I'm walking down the street and all of a sudden someone, like, walks right. I'm like, whoa, my God, I didn't hear you coming. I feel like that would make it more scary.
I feel like
scary,
she was trying to deaden the surprise a little bit, because, like, the house was deathly quiet and then these people would come out and go, whoa, like that. And she was, she didn't want the startling reaction. She was trying to dampen it a little bit.
I guess so. As you mentioned, like, Kevin, I feel like if Kevin had not stopped to be like, hey guys, you did a great job. Like, you did such a great job. If he hadn't congratulated the
scary people.
He
thought he was in his old neighborhood, Taryn. Yeah. That's what it was.
He's a dad to everybody. He's got to give everybody the dad prize of, like, you did a good job.
He can't stop working the social game. He's just right. Like, if all of them like me more, then maybe I'll have an edge.
He needs all the jury votes, even the horror show monsters.
Yes. Raven, a professional ghost hunter, she was like, oh, this is going to prepare me. Nothing can scare me. I feel like, isn't being a professional ghost hunter, like, a disadvantage? Because I've watched those shows before. They freak out at, like, the slightest sound. Actually having somebody in your face must be, like, absolutely terrifying to them, right, John?
Well, I mean, let's think of all the different things that she's survived so far. I mean, like, I know that this podcast tends to only go for like an hour or two, but so I'll be brief. But she's survived how many fatal diseases, how many limbs of hers have been chopped off? Like, every one of her family members has died and come back a couple times. So, like, yeah, this is definitely a run of the mill for her. Like, her entire life is just one horror show after another. So I was not surprised that she was confident.
I'm surprised she didn't try to exempt herself.
Her spine is upside down, Brent, okay? Her spine is upside down.
Yes. So ultimately, we see Cody win this competition. Cody performing exactly how I think we'd expect Cody to perform. Just very quickly and efficiently moving through, not reacting at all. You know, it's pretty much, honestly, I was kind of hoping for something a little more dramatic with the editing in terms of like Cody just not reacting at all, Brent.
Yeah, I thought they could have done a little bit of a better job, but they were spending all their time showing everybody going through the competition. So what do you want? I don't know. It was after this competition, Paul was bitching about the fact that, you know, he thought this competition was made for someone like Cody. And I'm like, please give me a break. Like, you're just trying to find stuff to complain about now. Because, like, I mean, Kevin and Alex, someone who was covering her ears the entire time, literally almost beat his time. Like, it could have been any of you, but, like, Cody literally just did the best. Like, John, please tell me you're with me on that. You don't think they tried to rig this competition out of all competitions for Cody?
No, well, you know, it's like a Freudian deflection thing, right? Like, Paul has had a lot of competitions sort of like tailor-made to him. Last week's veto competition was the one that he won last season, so I think that maybe he's a little bit self-conscious about all of the advantages that he's had, and so he wants to sort of deflect.
And he has had many.
Anyway. Right, exactly. In terms of Cody, like, yeah, that's exactly what we thought was going to happen, and it was kind of funny for what it was. I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed that we would find that, like, he has one weakness, right? Like, Indiana Jones is afraid of one thing, and it's snakes. And I was like, wouldn't it be, like, what if cornheads is Cody's biggest fear? Like, he's gone to, like, Iraq and all these, you know, things, and he's seen all these horrors, and he's not afraid of anything, but, like, corn is, like, his one big fear, and, like, he turned into, like, a big puddle on the floor. That would have been really funny.
He turns into Justin from Big Brother 13. I had some major deja vu watching Paul run through this. As the sole vet in the house playing this competition, he approached it exactly how Jason did, which was like talking the entire way through and being like, okay, this person here and this is, you're doing this and oh, you're right there. I was like, am I watching Jason? Are you trying to emulate that style of gameplay? Because it didn't exactly work out for him.
Yeah, I don't know. He's so busy entertaining us. He feels like he's always got to be on. You saw him even when he was in the Den of Temptation and he swallowed the potion and he looked directly at the camera and said, cheers. Like, I mean, like, he knows he's always on camera. He's always trying to put on a show. And that's why it gets a little bit tiresome for me.
Which is why I loved last week during that big fight when Cody was like, you're just a character on a TV show, Paul. Like, you could tell that.
Oh, yeah,
really
that got under
his skin.
Oh, yes. I was living for that. Yes.
Can I say the whole drinking the potion thing, it just
that?
Seems so tedious to me.
I know, yeah. Right? If you
Every
don't want to play, you shouldn't
this.
Have to drink the potion. That's so stupid that you have to actually drink it no matter what. And it looks like milk, and it didn't seem like it tasted very good either. They said mayonnaise? Oof. Like, I would have literally like gotten a drop of it if I wanted to compete.
Yeah, I would have started to drink it and just been like, no. Yeah. Maybe I would have thrown it. Maybe they would have liked that. I don't know. Yeah.
They clearly like when people like play up. It's not really like the Den of Temptation. It's like the Den of overacting. Like, they really go
really
crazy
is.
In there.
What was up with Cody running up to the Den of Temptation, like getting himself amped or something? I don't understand.
I don't know. I love it, though. It's just so different. Everyone else just moseys on up there. Cody's like in a sprint, like a literal sprint to try to get to the Den of Temptation. Like, if he gets there quick enough, he might get an advantage or something. Like, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, like, usually we're seeing, like, everyone else be, like, super excited, running up the stairs, or, like, running into the battle back, and Cody's just kind of waltzing through, just like, he doesn't care, but all of a sudden, he's, like, he's full of energy. Maybe it was this plan to win the Temptation competition and then throw it for Jessica, which they do succeed at doing, so Cody wins this one by 6 seconds over Alex, and Jessica times out and loses. I know I had a question that was directed toward me, and I'm curious about this myself. What would they do if multiple people tried to throw this? Because if Jess times out at 15 minutes, how do you determine who comes in last place since it's a timed competition like that? Do you just, like, who can sit there the longest?
No, I honestly was thinking about this. I think that, like, I honestly think Big Brother would put all of them on the block. I really do. Like, it would be like Celebrity Big Brother UK, where, like, you know what? If you all decide to throw this, you're all going to be on the block. And then they would have to be careful about exactly how many people they're literally trying to throw this. I think that's probably what would have happened.
Yeah, if you put the fear of God in them one time by having like 18 people on the block, then they would never, they wouldn't be so keen on throwing it in the future.
Yeah.
There you go. Smart idea, Brent. I like it. So we referenced this incident at the top of the show. It happened right at the start of the episode where Mark is in the bedroom here and Alex just strolls right in and says to Josh, "Hey, Josh, Mark and Elena are not happy." And they're just like, Mark is right there. love these moments. Always a fun thing to watch. That was just Alex Kidwell in the chat. That was so bad. It really was. I just immediately was like, oh no, Alex. Oh, what did you do? John, how would you feel in this moment?
I think that maybe Alex, like when she was studying her Big Brother lore, she confused Big Brother winner Jordan with Big Brother loser Chef Joe. And she was like, I know that one person, Joe, something like they won. I'm going to emulate that game. Because that was right out of the Chef Joe playbook.
It really was. It was so funny to watch. And actually, this was right when I was in like a pit of despair because, you know, Josh had just won HOH. And I'm like, oh my God, Cody and Jessica are probably going home. And I was like really bitter. And so I actually did not watch this on the feeds, but I heard somebody like tell me about it. And then I was like, I was too like freaking lazy to go back and flashback. And then it was way worse seeing it on the episode than I ever thought it could be. Like, I heard that Mark and that Alex had said something in front of Mark. But I thought she was like aware of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought I thought that Alex said something with Mark in the room that Mark didn't like. I had no idea it was really like this. Like, she walked into a room, didn't even take a look at who was in the room, and then decided to start in on Mark and Elena. And Josh is like, Mark's right there. And she's like, oh, and by the way, Mark, you're such, I can't even call him what I want to call him. You are such a wuss. Because, like, look, what you should have done at that point, it's just gotten a little bit of Brent in you and be like, look, honey, you're the one who screwed up. Do not try to turn this on me. You're the one who put your foot in their mouth. So own it a little bit. That's what I would have told her instead of like just sitting there and constantly taking it, which is what all of these people do. And it drives me crazy.
It was a bad move, obviously. Like, come on. Like, you have one thing to do every time you enter a room, and it's like, look at who's in the room. But all that being said, I do think that Alex kind of recovered as best as she possibly could. Like, she put her foot in her mouth, but, you know, instead of trying to hide it or whatever, she kind of owned it. Like, she was like, yeah, like, you were mad. Like, you looked like you were upset there. So she recovered a little bit there. She did the best she could.
Whatever. Yeah, you know, good instincts, I think, to be like, okay, I need to come up with a reason for why I just did that and not have it look like I just do that all the time. So, like, I need to be like, oh, I'm pissed at you for a particular reason. And if we clear this up, then I'm no longer pissed at you and will no longer do these things to you. So, you know, again, good instincts. We'll see if it works. Apparently, you know, Mark is talking to us in the diary room saying, you know, what she's saying is true. I do all of those things. So there's not a whole lot I can say to defend myself there. Definitely not taking the Brent approach in response to Alex's strategy.
I think Alex also got lucky because it was Mark that she was talking about in front of Mark, wasn't Josh or Paul. You know what I mean? Because Mark is a very insecure person, which is why
he's
response
a wuss.
Was like,
He's a constant wuss.
So he hears that, and it's just like, oh no, all my fears are true. They're talking about me.
Like, you're talking. Like, I'm not in the in crowd now. Like, I thought I was.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just whatever. I can't even say it. Go on, moving on, moving on. I'll keep my mouth shut.
All right. So Josh has to put up two people on the block that are not Jess or Cody because Cody is safe and Jess is already on the block. And of course, Josh wants to put Elena up on the block along with Mark, Elena being his true target. But he's going to hide that fact and pretend that he's still going after Jessica. And at the nomination ceremony, Jess says, it has to be the Josh show, of course. And he says, yeah. Because it is. Brent, is it the Joshua?
I mean, like, I don't necessarily blame him. I mean, he's living for his moment. Julie Chen actually talked to him at the end of the episode. I don't remember, somebody please correct me, Well, I think Paul was the only time at the end of an episode where Julie talked to the new HOH. Maybe it happened, I don't know. But it seemed like that this is the first time that she's actually spoken to the new HOH, which is something that they do occasionally where they have a little time to fill. Obviously, there was no eviction, and so that they were looking for a little bit of time to fill. She talked to him. She said his catchphrase, which is the meatball. So Josh feels like, man, this is my week, this is my house, and you're just living in my universe right now. So I kind of like the fact that he owned a little bit there. And the one thing I did not necessarily care for, though, is if your true target is Elena, I wish you would not go out of your way to piss off Cody and Jessica if you're ultimately going to want them to be in the house for a second week. Like, I know he feels like he's being shifty and sneaky about this, but ultimately you're going to need the house's backing on this, and you can't be like a whipsaw where you're like, you know, one minute you're targeting Jessica, the next minute you're targeting Elena, and one minute you're targeting Jessica, and next minute it's Elena. Like, you feel like you have to have a base of trust and foundation with the house, and I don't know that his antics during the nomination ceremony really added to what he hopefully wants to accomplish this week.
I would say that it's still the Paul show, but it's the Paul show with special guest Josh. He's definitely, in terms of production, like, he gets shown the most. He's definitely the favorite newbie of production. And yeah, I have to agree with you, Brent. Like, you know, Elena isn't playing Josh right, but Josh isn't playing Elena right either. Like, he's still pissing off Cody and Jessica, but then it's not, but then at the same time, like, Elena is onto him. He knows, or she knows, that he is not being trusty of her. Like, that whole fight at the end, they both played that terribly. Like, if Elena's goal was to get Josh to cool down, that didn't work. And if Josh's plan is to secretly target Elena, like, she knows now that, like, he is her, or she is his target.
Yes. All right. So one more thing I wanted to get into before we get into the questions is is this the right move for Josh to target Elena here? And do we think that he can pull this off? John, let's start with you. Like, what do you think about this?
All right. So I said during the last roundtable, the one that I was a part of, I mean, so like two roundtables ago, that I think that Josh was playing a really, really good second place game. He was in a great position and he was playing perfectly to make it all the way to the end. He was in a place where every person, except for maybe Cody and Jessica, would be stupid not to keep him in the house and definitely take him to the end as a goat. So on the one hand, if he creates this sort of chaos, people are going to start targeting him. Because as of right now, it's like Josh is Josh. He's going to Josh. He's going to be meatballing all over the place. And we're going to take him to the end as a goat. And so if he tries to start making moves, if he goes against the powers that be, a.k.a. Paul, then people might start looking at, should we take Josh out? So it's kind of a bad move in terms of, like, eyes are going to start going towards him. But like I said, I didn't think that he's playing a winning game. So if he actually wants to get to the end and have a shot at winning, like, he's definitely going to need to start making moves. And if he can get out his target and then somehow create a situation where he is the one that gets Paul out, then suddenly he has, like, a resume where he might be someone who could possibly win in the end.
Yeah, I don't know that I think it's debatable whether or not it's a good move or not. I feel like that in order to make this the correct move, he's going to have to gain a few things. Number one, he's going to have to at least make sure that if he doesn't get Paul on board, that he at least has his blessing. Like, to just, you know what, let the votes fall where they may. And then, you know, hopefully his plan goes through and Elena really does go home. I like what you said on a previous show, Taryn, where you said that you were actually sort of on board with this move because from Josh's perspective, he is nervous about the fact that Paul has his hands in everybody's cookie jars. And if he removes Elena, that hardens the lines a little bit. Elena's sort of in the middle there, even though I really don't think she's in the middle. I really think she's on the outs. But Josh sees her as being in the middle, and perception is reality of the Big Brother house. And so he wants to remove that piece from Paul's toolbox, and he wants to keep Jessica and Cody in the game, because I feel like Josh assumes correctly that if Cody and Jessica get power next week, if they stay in the house, they're not going to come after Josh. Josh isn't really their target at this point. I feel like that Josh, in some ways... But I know this may be a hot take. I feel like Josh has won over even Cody at this point. I feel like Cody is even like, yeah, it's just Josh. It's like, you know, me, a stupid meatball, I have to put up with him, and I don't like him, and he's a nutcase and whatever. But I don't feel like that Cody or Jessica would go after Josh at this point. They might use him as a pawn, but I don't feel like that he would ever be a target. So I feel like that this is ultimately a good plan from Josh, especially if he wants to play a winning game and not just end up as a second place goat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Elena, she is in the middle. She's a manipulator. She's a liar. She's shady. She gotta go. All right. Let's get into some questions here. We have one from Nikki on Twitter who asks, so far, has Elena breaking up with Mark worked out much better for Mark's game than Elena's? John, what do you think about that?
You know, if you'd said this a few days ago or a week ago, I would have predicted that the answer is no. But yeah, like kind of so far, I mean, Mark is in a position now where he's not like between Mark and Elena, he's not the target. Like we didn't see anything on the show tonight that would indicate that they want to go after Mark. And it's all looks like it's at Elena. So I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's worked out a little bit better for Mark. I still feel like that they're still on the outs. They're still like targets B and C, you know, if Cody and Jessica are not available and there's no real other targets after them. So I don't know that, you know, like that quote unquote distance has done her a lot of good other than the fact that it does seem to have done good in Paul's eyes. Paul's like, well, you know, I told her to pull away from Mark and she has pulled away from Mark. And I told her that wrong answer for the HOH competition and she listened to me. So I feel like that's where Paul's eyes were opened about Elena. And he realizes that she is a good tool for him to have moving forward and that she would never actually target him because she's too timid to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's funny because Josh was saying to Paul, like, oh, you know what? One of the reasons why Elena is so shady, did you see how she abandoned Mark like that? She is heartless. It's unbelievable. And Paul must be thinking like, yeah, I told her to do that.
Right. See, yeah, Josh is the Brent in this scenario because I'd be like, did you see that? You see what? Like, she's so disloyal over there. Can you believe like we need to get people like this out of the house right now? So I totally understand where Josh is coming from, even though he was in on the plan for her to vote against him from the start, and he's really like milking the acting there in the room. Like half of his reasons for targeting Elena are complete BS, but the other half of the reasons I can get on board with.
I will say too that I think that a lot of the house kind of still sees them as a unit. Like I don't really know how successful the whole breakup really was
I
in
agree.
Terms of house perception.
Yes. All right. So next question from Jen Manning on Twitter, who handled the hashtag oops moment the worst, Alex or Mark? Brent, I imagine you have an opinion on this.
Yeah, I already said, I don't want to repeat myself. Like, Mark is he's just such a... I cannot be on rap and swear. So I just like, every time I come to a moment where I want to swear, I'm just like, yeah, I can't say it. So like, he's just a wuss. Like, you know, like I look, okay, I'm going to be fair for a second. People, hi, Dylan, I see you. Like, they want me to be a little bit more unbiased occasionally on rap. So I'll be unbiased for a second and say, I guess Mark played this okay in that he didn't overreact like some people would in the Big Brother house. He was actually pretty submissive to Alex, let her bitch, let her feel okay about the fact that she made a mistake and didn't come away looking like the bad guy, and thus, of the three people who are currently on the block, he is target number C. Like, people would evict Elena or Jessica over Mark, so I will give him credit that he acted like that. On the other hand, it's not very fun to watch.
I do like that we got some new information for any Brent interpreters out there. means swearing. Yes.
Right. Or something politically incorrect, which I occasionally do.
Next question from Ryan on Twitter. Elena's logic was not faulty, but how should she have approached Josh to remain off the block if possible? John, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, again, I mean, like, you never know what Josh is going to do, and he definitely sort of has his mind made up. But I said this a few times already tonight, but I think that the key to Josh is understanding his insecurities and to sort of play into them. So I think that if she had played into the idea that he is attracted to her, and if she had also played into the idea that he has the power now, he's the big man on campus. We make fun all the time on Twitter and stuff, like, he's a human being, but he's also an adult, right? He's a man. He's a grown man. And so I think if she'd approached him from sort of a, like you said earlier, a submissive perspective, then I think he would have been more willing to listen. If she'd have been like, listen, you're right. You have every reason to doubt me and my fate's in your hands. And I think you'll do the right thing. Like that might have worked a little bit better. Even though her logic was right, by coming into it as a logical thing, he sees that as like, oh, she thinks she's above me. She thinks she's an adult. She's talking to me as a kid.
Yes, I agree. I really like that last part. Like, Josh doesn't like it when people act condescending to him. And the way Elena, like, sort of approached, like, she's sort of, like, she's shifty, she's in the middle, she's got her hand in everybody's cookie jar. I mean, I feel like that even though that really isn't true, that I feel like Josh feels like it's that way. And she needs to recognize that he sees her as that. So she needs to be a little bit more straightforward with him. And again, the worst thing she could have done is go up to him before like the paint is even dry on it, Josh's HOH room, and say, you know, hey, am I safe? Like, I'm safe, right? Cool. Just tell me if I'm safe. Like, I want to know, am I going up? Like, she could not have handled that worse.
Yeah, in that moment there where he suddenly had all the power and he was the big man on campus, the only thing that any of them should have done would be to be like, yeah, good job. You're the man. Like, you're the man this week. It's all you.
Yeah. All right. Next question from Miriam White on Twitter, who asks, is Meatball the new friendship for Big Brother 19? If so, is Paul pissed? #RHAP, #BrentUnleashed. Brent, do you want to take this one?
Unfortunately, or you know, for better or for worse, if you're Rob Sesternino, I guess Meatball is the new friendship. Friendship's never going to go away. But the thing about Meatball is that it doesn't, like, there's not a good way we can put it on the soundboard, I don't think, necessarily. Maybe Rob can swing it. But with friendship, there was always a quick, like, friendship. Like, I mean, there was an easy way to do it where we could have fun with it. I don't know that Meatball necessarily works its way. Like, it's easier, like, if you're agreeing with someone to just say friendship. But Meatball, I guess there's not a lot to do with that.
You're a meatball. He's a meatball.
I guess.
They're all meatballs. It's Meatball City. It's Meatball Manor. It's all about the meatball.
By the way, I looked up that song. The meatball doesn't go under the rug. It goes onto the floor. I just wanted to let you know.
Well, but there is a rug on the floor. You know, if Meatball is the new friendship, okay. But friendship was the new Fruit Loop Dingus. So that's where we should be remembering.
Yeah, and Fruit Loop Dingus was the new something, for sure.
Yeah, it's always something. There's always a catchphrase.
Yes, all right. Next question from Anne on Twitter, who asks, even though it's a twist, do you like the strategy involved in the temptation safety /third nomination? John, what do you think?
Yes, absolutely, 100% yes. When they announced it, I was #pissed, because my first thought when Julie announced it was like, this is just another way for Paul to save himself. It's another opportunity for him to win a competition and get safety. So I was super down on it when she announced it. But already after 2 weeks of it, I really love it. I loved the Cody and Jessica strategy where they were like, we should both play and Jessica, you should throw it and then I should try really hard to win it, because it created a situation where they knew that at least one of them was going to go up anyway. And even if you lose, even if you play in it and you purposely lose and you end up on the block, that prevents people from backdooring you. This is a way to break the back door. And so I do like it. It's added a new level of strategy to the game.
I have to say, I agree. And I probably get flack for saying this, but I really hope that this is something that stays. I actually would like, I would like them, you know, just like give it a new name, like, you know, we can rebrand it, but bring it back for season 20 and just have it there from the beginning for like the first 6 or 7 weeks of the game, where, you know, if you win, you're safe from the week. It gives everybody a chance, like all of like the Devons and the like Jeremy Maguires of the world, a chance to save themselves, not be backdoored. And I don't know. I feel like it's a really good addition. And I like the strategy of, you know what, if I'm not going to win, I have to come in last. And then again, like what are they going to do about, you know, if everybody decides to throw it, like, and how willing are you to throw it if there's like 10 people on the block? And again, that's just me guessing, but I think that's, I mean, how else are they going to break a tie if everyone is trying to lose? I guess maybe they could have them draw straws, but then again, are they, they'd have to actually own the fact that they were trying to throw it. So, I feel like there's a lot of fun stuff here to be had. And I do really enjoy the mechanics of this competition.
I also really like the idea that if you are the only person who plays in it, you're automatically safe. Like if we get a player in a future season or maybe later this season who's really, really, really good at sort of misting people and creating a situation where like, oh yeah, no one's going to play it because everyone either chooses to play or not play in secrecy. And so if you can create a situation where it's like no one else is going to volunteer to do it, you can get yourself like a freebie safety too. Like there's that whole other level.
I do hope we eventually get a race to the bottom and everyone's just trying to compete to lose the competition.
Right.
So somebody doesn't have a chance to play in the veto. I think that could be kind of fun. All right. One more question before we get into the spoilers from Hunter on Twitter. Is this the beginning of the edit turning on Paul? John, what do you think about this?
I don't think so. Even though they showed the little bit where he was ordering Josh around and there were some confessionals with Christmas and Josh kind of saying like they know what Paul's up to, I would say the edit itself is still very pro Paul. Like the music is still very positive whenever he's on screen. He's still getting a ton of confessionals. He's not getting any sort of villainous turns. And there's a lot of stuff that he does or says that you could portray in a negative way. And I would say at worst, we've seen him in a neutral way so far.
I mean, I have to say this question is just BS. I mean, seriously. I mean, like, if this is the best that they can do as far as, you know, turning the edit on Paul a little bit, then it's going to be a very long season. Because of all the stuff that I've seen Paul done, that he has done this season, the stuff that they showed tonight was just, like, it was patty cake. It really was. I mean, even showing, like, the reactions, like, they didn't show any reaction to Josh as for when Paul said, you know, put that down as far as the water goes. I mean, there was nothing in the diary room that I saw where he was actually offended by Paul. It was more just like, well, you know, you, like, this is my HOH. It wasn't like he was actually against him. Again, all of Josh's plans, even if Elena goes home, is that Paul is on his side. So I don't feel like anybody is necessarily anti-Paul at this point, except for Cody and Jessica, and even they seem to really respect his game. So at this point, I feel like Paul's going to have to really get, you know, his hand caught between a couple of different alliances. It's going to take a power shift of somebody like Cody, maybe Mark, but even Mark thinks Paul's on his side at this point. So it probably would have to be Cody, where it would be Paul against somebody else, and he would have to show his cards as far as who he thinks is really on his side and who he's loyal to and who he's not. Like, if Paul is on the block against Alex, I feel like that's where things really would break open. But that's what I've been praying for all season, because I feel like that really reshuffles the deck. As things stand right now, I feel like Paul is in some ways just sort of marching to the end, and he's really hard to dislike. I agree with what Rob said on a previous podcast, which is, you know, like him or hate him, but Paul's a really fun character on reality TV, and he, like, knows how to play to the cameras, and yeah, it's a little bit cheesy, but he's not inherently a bad guy. He's just playing the hand that he's dealt, and these people are letting him do it.
If the editors wanted to show Paul in a negative light or get the audience, the casuals, to turn on Paul, they would have shown the fight from Thursday's episode
in a very
different way.
Yes. And if you haven't, I just want to, like, I rarely ever plug this, but I have my Periscope pinned to the top of my Twitter. I went on Periscope, like, right after that episode, actually during the episode, because the edit was just complete bullshit. It absolutely was. They didn't really show anything, and I listened to you guys on Thursday night, and if anybody was a little patty cake, I feel like you guys were a little bit patty cake, because that fight was a lot more vicious and a lot more biased as far as, you know, what side was in the right or not than you guys were sort of letting people know. I mean, I feel like that the Christmases and Pauls of the world, they did not have to own the fact that they went after Cody's military record, and they were questioning whether or not it was legit or not, and they wanted to call him a coward to try to get him to self-evict or to punch somebody. None of that was shown in the episode, and they were the ones who were trying to institute that. They were, I mean, Christmas at one point was asked, you know, what if this guy, like, goes off and hits a guy? She was like, well, then they're just not cut out for the Big Brother house, you know? Like, I mean, that's just totally heartless, and it has no place in the Big Brother game as far as trying to get somebody self-evict. I mean, I can handle a lot as far as strategy goes, but I cannot handle that. So I feel like that they really, really let them off the hook easy, and that whole edit on Thursday night was just complete horseshit.
There's nothing worse than when Christmas gets, like, too overly commercialized and there's not enough heart in Christmas.
Thank you.
It was a night of friendship, Brent, that Thursday night. We were having fun.
You better be glad I wasn't there. I'll just tell you that.
Yes, I've heard a lot of buzz about Brent's Periscope. I believe it also had its own Reddit post. So check that out if you're interested.
Did it? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't go to Reddit enough. I really should. They love me over there. God.
Everyone loves you, Brent. All right, so now is your chance to get out of here before we get into spoilers. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. I will be live with John, I believe, for a live feed update.
Yep.
All right. And we will be live at 8 p.m. Eastern for the LFC roundtable, where we'll talk about all of what's been happening on the feeds. Woo-hoo. And argue about it all to our heart's desire. Also, make sure you check out our Wednesday night recap after the Big Brother episode airs. And I think I'm ready to say this. The next episode of The Taran Show should be out on Tuesday. I am scheduled to talk to Audrey Middleton tomorrow.
Yay!
On the episode 4.
Wow, that's a great get.
Right? Yeah, very excited to talk to Audrey. So make sure you check that one out on Tuesday. That's The Taran Show, T-A-R-A-N. And let's get into these spoilers. Again, I don't have the song for you. I'm so sorry. If Scott is being nice to you, then he's editing it in right now.
There you go.
And we're back. I did, in fact, do a dance live in person on the Thursday show and felt immensely embarrassed afterward. Because normally people are like, oh, look, they're dancing. But then, like, when you're looking at a crowd of 300 people and they're just staring
like,
at you,
oh my
as
God,
you're doing
they're
this
dancing.
Goofy dance, yeah, you're just like, oh, man, that is a lot harder than I thought it would be. So let's get into these spoilers. Let's start out with the veto competition. John, what happened with the veto?
We have learned officially that the veto competition was Otev, and perhaps more pertinently, Mark has won it.
Mark, he's won it. Yes, in fact. Brent, how do you feel about this? What's happening here? Mark's going to take himself off the block, right?
Well, I mean, where do I want to start with this? I mean, seriously, like, these people in the house, it is such a freaking Paul cult right now that they are actually poo-pooing the fact that, well, Mark won the veto, but he really shouldn't use it. Like, I mean, he should just sit on the block. I mean, come on. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, that shows how shady he is, that he is willing to use the veto on himself, John. Like, that is how he is. He is that kind of a person.
The funny thing is that Mark has been absolutely cut and dry about this. Mark has said multiple times to multiple people, I am going to use the veto on myself. And yet,
read my lips.
In closed doors, like behind closed doors, Matt is still saying, like, I don't know, maybe he won't use it. Like, if he knows, like, maybe he won't. Like, it could go either way.
Yeah, because they're all, like, in a friendship circle. It's literally like The Friendship from season 6, where they're all in a circle and they're like, well, he should know that we are going to evict Jessica. Like, come on. Like, I mean, what does he need trust us? Like, I mean, why is he going to make anybody else be put up on the block in his place? What kind of a person is he? This is how these people are thinking and what drives me so freaking batty. But we're actually, like, hopping over the main story of what happened this week, because there was something that happened even before the veto competition that is even more infuriating if you're somebody like me.
Yes, we saw the basically what happens is they pick players for the veto before the veto competition, obviously, and Christmas and Josh had discussed, we're not going to use your temptation to prevent Cody from playing in this competition, because we don't really care if Cody plays. If he takes Jess down, it doesn't really matter for us. We're going after Elena. Christmas decides to let Paul know beforehand so he doesn't get surprised, because they had previously talked about her using it. And ultimately, Paul convinces her to use her temptation and prevent Cody from playing in this competition. Brent, how do you feel about this move? Because
this
I was
so
very confused.
This is so freaking irritating. First of all, Christmas is absolutely right. And what she didn't want to say to Paul, which I really wish she would have held on to this, and maybe she thinks that Paul's in her final two plans, I don't know, which is maybe that's why she didn't want to use it. But there is, because she kept trying to say, look, if I pull Cody down, that doesn't necessarily, out of the mix as far as the veto players go, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that our target goes home. Jessica could still win the veto. And Paul was like, well, it does basically guarantee it. And she's like, no, what I wanted her to say, or at least what I wanted her to think, was the ring is far more valuable pulling someone out who is your backdoor target, like Paul. Like, if you wanted to backdoor Paul and he gets drawn for the veto, you pull him out and don't even give him a chance to play for the veto. That's what she really should have been thinking at that point. But it was so infuriating to watch this. Look, this is right before I went to work on Friday. Was it Friday night? Saturday night? Whatever. I had to work that night, okay? So I have like 2 hours to watch feeds right before I get up. And Josh and Christmas are like, well, we're going to go talk to Mark because we need to let him know that we're not going to use that temptation, okay? They talk to Paul for maybe 15 minutes. Half the time, Paul has the thing over his eyes where he doesn't even have the decency to get up and talk with them about this plan that they have. Somehow, in that moment, he convinces them that Jessica is the real target. You want to, like, get her out so that her and Cody are not on the jury together because they're going to vote the same. And you also want to make sure that Cody's not in this competition. So make sure to use your ring, Christmas, even though she said she wasn't gonna. And then the feeds went down. It was like Josh got called to the diary room and they picked players for the veto competition. It was so infuriating. I know production probably wants Cody and Jessica to stay in the house, but they sure as hell aren't showing it, because if they would have called Josh to the diary room 10 minutes beforehand, he would never have had that conversation with Paul and she would never have used her stupid ring in the first place. But as it stood, she used her ring. When they came back, when the feats came back, it was evident that she had used the ring. Cody and Jessica were crying. Cody was crying for like the second time this season. And Jessica called Christmas a two-faced bitch, and we're off to the races.
I don't know that there's too much that I can add that Brent didn't already like cover absolutely perfectly.
It's just, so. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you really quickly, but this is the thing. Like, I don't understand them. If Elena is your target, why are you using this? This is a really valuable tool that you can have in your toolbox. Christmas's entire defense, and I'm not even sure exactly if somebody can please correct me, if Josh was cool with this happening or not. I don't think he was. I think he did not want that ring used. Christmas gave Josh veto power over the ring being used by saying, you know, blink really hard if you want me to use it. Otherwise, I'm not going to use it. I know he didn't blink during the ceremony, so why the hell did she use it? She said she used it because she didn't want Paul to be mad at her. That's why. She didn't want Paul to, like, out it to the other people that she could have prevented Cody from playing, and then, you know, something would have happened. So it's just, it's a groupthink mentality that is driving me crazy. And as far as the feeds today go, Josh and Christmas want Elena out. So if you want Elena out, why the hell did you use the ring to prevent Jessica from getting the veto around her neck? It's absolutely infuriating, Darren.
Yeah. From my point of view, I cannot understand how this is possibly a good move, even if you don't want to go along with the plan to evict Elena. But especially if you do, this just seems like utterly the wrong move, and I can't find a defense for it. Can you, John?
It's really, yeah. I mean, again, you guys really have covered a lot of the stuff, but just to sort of reiterate, as of now, if we're going to jump forward to the present, it does seem like Christmas and Josh still want to go after Elena, and so that makes it absolutely make no sense. This is a power, like Brent, you said it earlier, like Christmas could have used to get out to backdoor someone really big,
right?
Like Paul. Yes. Also, it's something that she could have used to protect herself at a key moment. Like, Christmas is not in danger of going home this week. She was never going to get put up even as a pawn. So she blew a power that she could have used in her pocket when she really, really, really needs it. You know, like, it really undermines any of the work that she was doing this week to get Josh on her side or to start sort of fomenting some sort of a rebellion, because now she's probably, like you said, probably has pissed Josh off. It literally makes no sense. People have been talking or joking or sort of proletizing on Twitter the idea that maybe it has to do with the fact that Christmas is on so many meds. And I don't want to, like, point to something like that, but there's no other explanation for it. It's just, it's not a good move for anyone other than Paul. I mean, because no matter what, like, Cody is guaranteed to be in the house next week, and you just made him even more mad at you. Christmas and Jessica have been love hate, mostly hate, kind of patching things up. And, you know, she did this before the veto happened. So what if Jessica had ended up winning the veto on her own? She's shown that she can win competitions before. Then, like, you've made her an enemy again, too. Like, Christmas would easily be a reasonable target now for Cody or Jessica if either or both of them make it into next week, which is what they want. Like, Christmas wants both of them around because they want Elena to go home. So she purposely pissed off the people that she's intending to try and sort of work with going forward.
Yeah, and there is an argument that, like, oh, she was doing it to please Paul, which may be good for her in some way. But I think you have to understand the context of that conversation. Paul wasn't putting up that much of a fight.
Exactly. Thank you.
Exactly. She could have done it and said, look, Josh really didn't want me to do it. Like, I'm sorry. You know, we tried to let you know. And he was fine. Like, Paul was fine with the idea that Christmas was saying, Josh, if you want me to use it, blink. If you don't blink. Paul was fine with that. And if Josh had told her not to use it and she didn't use it, Paul would have been like, that was kind of dumb, but whatever. Like, he's not going to do anything about it. Whereas if you tried to go behind Paul's back and evict Elena over Jessica, that is going to set Paul off. And you don't have to do that if Cody wins the veto and takes Jessica down for you. Then Elena goes out with no blood on your hands and everything's fine. You keep Paul nice and cool. It just doesn't make any sense to me at all on any level.
Also, I really want to say quickly that I think this could have been a good bargaining chip for Christmas to have in a future week when somebody else has a target in mind and she can make a deal with them. Like, look, I trust you so much. I'm going to tell you about, I have this power. Like, you can totally backdoor them. If they get drawn for the veto, I'll pull them off. Like, this was something that she could have used, but instead she just blew it on a plan that she doesn't even really want to have happen anyway, because she wants Elena to go out of the house.
Paul has also, you know, put in work. Last week when Paul was HOH, he was very seriously considering, like, Mark as, like, a third place sort of, like, option anyway. Like, he clearly still wants Elena in his pocket, but Paul is okay with Mark leaving. And if Cody had played and then used it to save Jessica, then we would have had Cody and Jessica still on the block. Or, I'm sorry, Jessica would have been pulled off, but we still would have Cody... We'd still have what am I trying to say?
Mark and Elena. Mark and Elena on the block.
And Paul is okay with Mark going. So, you know, yes. Christmas, just she just hurt herself and didn't gain anything from anyone's perspective.
Yes. All right, so that's what happens with the veto replace or picking the what is the that called, like, picking the veto players?
The veto draw.
Yes, the veto draw. All right. So that's what happened there. As we said, Mark wins this veto. He does plan on taking himself off the block. Brent, do we have an idea of who the replacement nominee is going to be?
It's going to be everyone's favorite person. Raven Walton is going to be the replacement nominee, and she wants everybody to know it, too. She wants everybody to know, like, hey, I just want to let you know that I volunteered for this. I'm taking one for the team. It's okay. I know. I'm going to go up on the block. Actually, it would be really fun to sit beside Jessica. Like, I really want to go in the room and cast a vote against Jessica, but I think at this point it would be more fitting if I sit on the block next to her, and Matt's like, that would be really cool if you wear that red dress and you look even hotter than Jessica, which no one ever said, actually. So that's what the plan is right now, is that Raven's going to sit on the block and try to outdo Jessica as far as the look department goes. Which, girl, that ain't happening.
Well, Jess did unleash her hex appeal, according to the previously on, so.
Yeah, I'm just excited.
Like, for next week, because this is just going to be added to the list of, like, things that Raven has successfully survived. She's going to be like, listen, I've got this disease that's killing me. My spine's upside down. Like, I'm allergic to this, that, and the other thing. I was on the block. My life in the Big Brother house almost ended. Like, it's just going to keep
like, and
added.
I just say really quickly, like, this podcast has been very, very fair to Raven. I mean, there are a lot of other things I listen to that actually totally destroy her. I feel like we've been very fair to her, but it is sort of ridiculous at this point. She is such a victim, Taryn. And I know that she probably does have things that are wrong with her, but it's no, there. Look, all the things that she's saying on the feeds cannot possibly be true. She said something today about something that her body doesn't produce, and she's got to wear all of this cream every day. And if she doesn't put the cream on, she's going to end up in the hospital and be hooked up to machines. Like, this is insanity. This girl is just talking out of both sides of her mouth right now, and I feel like at some point it's incumbent upon us to call her out for it, even though we are a family-friendly podcast.
Well, you know, they have started talking about this. In fact, they've been talking about it for a little while, but it's really coming around. Like, there are very few people left in the house that feel any sort of sympathy toward Raven.
Oh, yeah. She's such a goat at this point. It's so funny because, like, early on, it was like, let's take Raven to the inn and just hand her the money. Now, I think it's going to quickly set in on everybody that nobody likes this girl. In fact, Jessica was talking earlier today, like, she would be the last person that she would vote for because she just can't stand her, and they don't feel like she does anything. The whole house is like, you two, Matt and Raven, do nothing. You literally do nothing, and you have coasted this entire time.
So what happens if we get a situation where the unstoppable force meets the immovable object, then we have a Raven Josh final two? Like, who's the goat in that situation?
Oh my god, Josh is such a winner. Look, I have said a long time, I was on a podcast with Alex a couple of weeks ago where he was like, you know, there's no way Josh can win this game, and I'm like, You gotta be shitting me. Like, Josh can totally win this game. He really can. Like, I mean, he's such a lovable meatball. I feel like you can see, even people like Cody can see, like, oh, yeah, he has a good heart. I mean, he drives me freaking crazy, and I can't stand to be in a room with him. Like, you saw that whole fight with Elena, and then after he got into a fight with her, he's like, you want a hug? Like, I mean, he just makes you crack up. It's really hard to dislike Josh. I feel like that Josh gets a pass where other people don't because of his youth and inexperience and relative maturity. But I totally feel like Josh is actually in my top tier of people to win the game at this point.
Oh, my. John, with Raven going up on the block, is there any way that Raven ends up going home here, or is she going to, is she destined to survive this block experience?
No, I really don't see it. I mean, you guys are totally right.
It's not fatal.
Yeah, it's non-fatal. That's not the only thing. But either way, we've talked, like, people are kind of catching on to her a little bit. People are kind of seeing through it. They're not as friendly towards her. She definitely kind of didn't look good in that last fight that happened the other day. But I think if she's on the block up next to Elena or Jessica, like, there's just no way that the house turns on Raven in that situation. There's just no way with this combination of people on the block that it's Raven.
All right. So that leads me to my next question, which is with Josh and Christmas still pushing to evict Elena, is this going to work? Can they get the votes to evict Elena? What do we think is going to happen here? Because Paul is still very much pushing Jess. Josh and Christmas are now pushing Cody. They've been pitching to Alex and Jason and Kevin to some degree that they need to take Elena out. Whose side is going to win out here, Brent?
I mean, you know, I think it would be foolish for any of us to bet against Paul at this point, but it's sort of an interesting week. Three people remain on the block, which means there are only eight people voting, which means they really only need four to make this go through if they really want to push for it. Like I said, I feel like they're going to need Paul's blessing at this point. Like, you know, if you guys can go out and get the votes, go out and get the votes, but he's going to work really hard behind the scenes to make sure that they don't get the votes. Obviously, Josh can break a tie, so they need four votes. Cody, Christmas, maybe Kevin and Jason. I feel like there is a little bit of room now with between Alex and Jason. I mean, I know she's always telling him what to do, but I do feel like he would be amenable to voting out Elena and leaving Jessica and Cody in the game as obvious targets and not allowing Elena to sort of, like, you know, wedge her way back into the bigger group, which a lot of people feel like she's doing. I just don't know if Paul puts his foot down enough, are those same people willing to vote against or to vote a different way than what Paul is? I think history at this point in this season would tell us no. But on the other hand, most seasons have an inflection point, and maybe this is it. So I would not bet in favor of Jessica staying, but weirder things have happened. However, I will really quickly say that Jessica is really pissing me off as well, and I am Team Jessica, but even she on the feeds is like, well, you know, Elena, I love you, and I wouldn't really campaign against you. Like, I won't. Cody won't vote against you. Like, we love you, Elena. Like, they're already making plans. You know, like, can I visit you in L.A. when I'm getting out of the house? Like, come on. Like, I mean, like, girl, fight for your life in this game. Maybe she'll start to fight for her life in this game if she realizes that there is a way out. I think, here's what I think is happening with Jessica. I feel like that even though she's had a few overtures from Josh, as far as, you know, Josh possibly wanting to save her, I feel like she's had the rug pulled out from under her. It's a little bit like the Charlie Brown and the football effect. Like, she doesn't want to believe that this is a reality because she doesn't want to have her hopes crushed again by the house, even though it actually is legit and there is a possibility. So in some ways, I feel like it's a defense mechanism where she's like, she doesn't want to entertain the possibility that she could be staying, and thus that's the reason why she's not playing.
Yeah, it should be mentioned that despite the many attempts to save Jessica from this elimination, it seems as though she's fighting it every step of the way, attacking Christmas, who's basically the person driving this whole vote flip in the first place, and seemingly getting Christmas to second guess the decision to evict Elena over Jessica, although she ultimately comes back to that idea, although for all we know that may have been the drugs, and just also continuing to attack Josh. Josh not really letting Josh tell her that he wants to keep her and that he wants to forge a relationship with her. She's not really having that. And then, of all people, we have Jessica outing Christmas as the person who's trying to flip the vote on Elena. She's giving Elena the heads up. Just so you know, I've been told that Christmas is trying to campaign against you and that she doesn't like you. Watch out for that. Prevent that vote flip from happening. I mean, if this doesn't happen, we have to put some large portion of the blame on Jessica preventing it.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll totally own that too. And also the fact that she and Cody have been cooped up in a room and don't talk with anybody, don't socialize with anybody. You know, when you don't socialize with people, then it's easier for them to dehumanize you and to think of you as, like, out of the game somehow, and you're the enemy and we're the good guys. So if they would just get out of their own skin a little bit and get out there and socialize, like, force people to interact with you. I mean, you're stuck in a house together. There's nothing else that they can do. I wish that they would try a little bit harder. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I do feel like that there are many different lifelines for Jessica this week, but whether or not she's willing to grab onto them, I feel like I have to indict her for that, because I feel like that they're there for a reason. But on the other hand, I sort of understand why she's not seeing him. And Josh stands up in front of everybody and says, Jessica, you're my target. And then, like behind the scenes, she's supposed to believe him that that's not the case. I mean, I don't know. It's probably a tough sell even for somebody like her as a fan of the game.
Yeah, we like to say that the best predictor of future behavior is previous behavior. So I do think that if I were a betting man, I would bet on Paul getting his way this week. And I'm definitely... I'm a fan of Jessica. I like Jessica and Cody because they're underdogs. Like, I'm always on the side of the underdogs. I'm on the side of good feeds and interesting and unexpected. But, you know, let's not mince words. Jessica and Cody aren't super good players.
No, like, they're freaking terrible. They're
terrible. Them because they're on the on the outs. We like them because we like underdog stories, but they're not good. And
by the way, in that Thursday podcast with Rob, he gave you credit, Taryn, for saying that, you know, Jessica and Cody were like the avatars of the resistance. They weren't really the heroes of the story. Hello, I was the one who said that. I say something brilliant every now and then. So I don't really believe in Jessica and Cody. They are freaking terrible players. And why are we off the air right now? I just wanted to say that.
I just saw that happen.
I was in the middle of a rant. How dare you, Taryn?
I don't know how to get it back.
Let me see it. Are we off?
Yeah, it still says it's off.
Alex, do you have the idea how to get this back on? Probably not.
Enough of Brent ranting, Nikki says. How dare you, woman? Do you want to keep going for Zencaster and try?
Yeah,
to, like,
yeah. Let's
it?
Let's just finish it up.
Okay, so we're just gonna like pretend like we're still
yeah,
here.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah. Okay. Cool.
Go for it.
So I was in the middle of a rant. What was I saying? I forget.
You were saying that Jessica is gonna suck because she sucks.
Yeah, I figured I had a point there, but it doesn't matter. I'll pick it up right here, really quickly. So anyway, I got interrupted, but the point being that Jessica and Cody are just, they're not very good players, and it's really hard to feel much sympathy for them at this point, but I'm a human, and I'm a fan of this game, and so I do, and they're the only people who are not drinking the Paul Kool-Aid, so I feel like that in some ways we're sort of like, these aren't the heroes that we necessarily want, but they're the heroes that we deserve at this point.
I think the greatest thing working in favor of Elena going this week is just that there's still 4 days until the eviction. Like, we've got a lot of time left.
And so I agree. And Elena has shown herself not to be the best player, as we saw on the episode tonight.
Yeah.
Yes. It seems as though in order for this to work is Josh needs to get Jason and Kevin on board, because that will make 4 votes and he can break that tie. Jason seems somewhat convinced by Christmas, in terms of, like, he seems on board with this idea, like he's willing to consider it, but he's very loyal to Alex, obviously, and Alex is very loyal to Paul, and I think that's the main obstacle here. It's hard to see Jason voting opposite of Alex, and Alex is seemingly very firmly on Paul's side here, and so it's very hard to see this playing out, and that's going to be very bad for Josh and Christmas if they really push hard for this and it fails.
I agree. One thing really quickly is that if it's going to be like interesting to see how far does each side push, and does Paul make the mistake of saying, you know, well, it's okay, if you can go out and get the votes, go out and get the votes. Because if he says that, I feel like that they're going to try to go get the votes. But he really shouldn't say something like that. Like, previous this week, he said to Josh, you know, hey, you know, it's your effing HOH, man, you do what you want. You know, he said that when they were getting ready to, you know, right before the veto draw, and Christmas used her power. So I feel like he handled that situation well. But if he handles this one with Josh badly, if he sees it in, like, if he looks Josh in the face and sees it in his eyes that he really wants Elena to go home, because Josh hasn't really said this to Paul yet. He keeps saying it to Christmas. He hasn't really said this to Paul, where he's like, look, it's my HOH. I did what everybody wanted during their HOHs. They need to respect me as the HOH, a.k.a. the man,
yep,
and do what I want. If he says that, that's when the shit hits the fan, and then we'll see what people really want to do.
Yes, so... I mean, again, like, this is the first really legitimate sense of backlash we've seen against Paul in the game, but it does feel as though he will defeat this probably this week. But is it the start of something? Are we going to see more of this in the future? Is this really the start of the end for Paul's dominance in this game, John?
Yeah, you know, we've been making a lot of comparisons between Paul and Derek, but I don't think Paul is as good of a player as Derek. He's definitely playing the hardest this season. I would even be comfortable saying he's playing the best this season, but I don't think that he's one of these greatest of all time people. And, you know, all it takes is a little bit of the seeds to be sown. So I do think that we'll see more talk. It might take a lot longer before it actually goes against Paul. Maybe it'll be too late. You know, we only have so many weeks left in the game, but I do think we'll see more of this in the future.
I do really want to quickly give credit to Paul because he had a talk with the feeders a couple hours ago. And he, to me, is fully aware of his place in the game. He's realizing that most of these people in the house are complete lemmings at this point. They're sheep. They're following exactly. They're too timid to make their own moves. And he needs to hammer it into their heads that, you know, once he made jury, that's the best he can do. If he gets to the final two, he cannot win the game, even though he's privately saying to us he knows he'll win the game. So I feel like he has a good plan in mind, and the people that he's saying he wants to align himself with, half of them are, from my perspective, correct. Half of them are not. He says he wants to align and keep in close with Kevin and Jason and Alex, all good, and Josh and Christmas, not so good. He's not including Raven and Matt. And I feel like Raven and Matt are far more Team Paul than Christmas and Josh are at this point. Do you guys agree?
Or even Kevin. I mean, Kevin, I think, has the ability to cut Paul when it's no longer beneficial to him. So, yeah, I would definitely agree. Matt and Raven would never turn on Paul.
All right.
Sorry. I was waiting for you to respond to that, Taryn, but I wanted to ask you one more question. Did you see Elena on the feeds today talking about Kevin and saying, you know, well, you know, if Kevin got to the end, he's somebody I could just never support winning the game. He has no strategy. He's never seen the show before. Unless like everything he's doing is actually his strategy, which would be freaking brilliant. And I'm like, bingo.
Yep.
Yeah, it was, you know, not the best piece of evidence for Kevin's likelihood of winning the game that Elena sees him that way. Good for him in the game, obviously, that he's probably not going to be targeted anytime soon. But he may find some difficulty in getting some respect for his game. We know that Cody and Jessica are big fans of Kevin, but that might not be enough, especially since they are not in the majority in terms of their opinion. So, Kevin, he may need to get a little more respect in that house.
He's a talker. Kevin's a talker. If he makes it to the end, if anyone could go from losing to winning just by talking in the jury speeches, I think it could be him.
That talk with Jessica and Elena was so infuriating because Elena told Jessica at one point, you know, if I win HOH next week, I'm going to have to put up Cody because the rest of the house will be so mad at me if I don't. And I literally just want to tear my hair out because she is such a wuss too. Her and Mark both should start their own wuss colony together because they have no cojones in this game. They're like Rob said a couple years ago about Steve and Johnny Mac. They're losers. They're never going to win the game. They're losers because they don't see the writing on the wall. Like the fact that they're the pawns this week is not a flipping accident, Elena. You are target numero dose right behind Jessica and Cody at this point. And if you don't see that, you're just like covering your eyes and it's a willful blindness at this point. That's why my irritation with Elena is so high.
All right. Let's take just a couple questions before we wrap this up. First, we have one from Matthew on Twitter who asks, why don't fans realize Black Friday is just now starting to... What?
Christmas. What? People on the internet like to make other holiday jokes. People call her Flag Day. People call her President's Day. Black Friday is Christmas.
Alex trolling me here? The question is, why don't fans realize Black Friday is just now starting to play Big Brother because she has officially made it to jury? do we buy that, Brent?
No, I thought it was funny that Cody's Twitter account, the guy who's running it right now, called her Easter. So I guess that's a thing now where you just like give Christmas a new name. I think Black Friday is a bit of a stretch. Like everybody loves Black Friday. I know I do. Well, you know, is Black Friday after Thanksgiving?
It's before. Well, it's right after Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's when everybody does the shopping, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I love that. Shopping is for me. I'm all for Black Friday. But no, I don't think Christmas is playing any different now that jury is upon her than she was before. I mean, I know that she wanted that. I will give her this. She has said that was one of her goals, but I still feel like that we've seen like elements of this in Christmas's personality in previous weeks. It's just now coming to fruition now that Josh is the HOH.
All right. Next question from Wesley on Twitter, who asks, how many house guests are under Paul's control versus house guests who are just playing it safe until jury, then playing their own game? John, what do you think?
I'm sure you guys will correct me if you completely disagree. I say that Alex is totally under Paul's control. I would say that Matt and Raven definitely are. I think that Jason is under Alex's control. So I think Jason would be willing to go against Paul, but it's like we said a few minutes ago that he won't if Alex doesn't. I think that Kevin is just doing it because it makes sense for him right now, and he would totally cut Paul's throat if he gets a chance. I think that Josh, when he has power like he does now, he wants to have all the power. So right now, Josh wants to go kind of against Paul. I think that next week or at any time that Paul gets HOH again, that he might flip back. And who knows what Christmas is up to. I think that she kind of wants to go against Paul right now, but then she does moves where she clearly doesn't. So who knows?
Right. Yeah, I can't even read these people's minds right now. I agree with John in his assessment of the house for the most part. And, you know, the thing is does Paul read the room correctly? Because there are people, like I said, Matt and Raven, who I feel like are totally in his back pocket, and yet he wants to put Matt on everybody's radars. And I'm like, that's not the right guy. Like, I know you think of Josh as the big meatball, but Josh, to me, is a bigger threat to your game than Matt ever would. Like, nobody really respects Matt in the game at this point. I don't feel like he could ever win a jury vote at the end, but I do feel like Josh could. I feel like Kevin could. I feel like Alex could. I feel like all the people like on this side are the people who you should fear. And even though Matt and Raven are not jury threats and they are totally in your pocket, you're not seeing that right now. And that's a bit of an indictment of Paul's game.
All right. One last question before we wrap this up from Vintage Wingnut on Twitter. It rolled off the table and onto the floor, and then my poor meatball rolled out the door.
I done said that. Hello. Yes. Actually, well, I looked at the whole song, actually. I was like, is there a rug in there? There has to be a rug in there somewhere.
I think the next verse is it rolled out the door and under the rug, and then my poor meatball was eaten by a bug.
Yeah, I think that's just fake news right there.
Oh, you caught me.
That was impressive. That was good. All right. So let's wrap this up. Do we have a hashtag for the podcast?
Yes, I have a hashtag.
Terrence Panties. Hashtag Terrence Panties.
No, and Rob won't allow something like that.
So okay, fine.
It's got to be, the chat room is giving me such shit for this. Target number C.
Yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah.
I like it.
And I didn't realize I said it until I started reading it. I'm like, oh, that does sound sort of like dumb.
Yes. All right. Hashtag target number C. I love it. Just to reiterate, make sure you check out the live feed update tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. And also make sure you check out our episode recap after the episode on Wednesday night. And of course, the Taran Show on Tuesday. You can check out American Ninja Warrior. That'll come out soon as well. And obviously, you can check out, but first, a Big Brother 2 block. Documentary. Go back, rewatch Big Brother 2. Lots and lots of fun stuff. And of course, make sure you check out our Game of Thrones coverage. We're doing this now, I believe, during the airing of Game of Thrones. So maybe if you were here watching us, you weren't watching Game of Thrones, but you should go back and watch Game of Thrones and then watch The Snow It Alls and all of the other podcasts because they're all great. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. For John and Brent, I am Taran Armstrong. Hashtag.
Hashtag target number C.
Target number C. We'll see you next time.